For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Perhaps no other words from the New Testament are so familiar, and yet, in my estimation, so misunderstood and abused. After all, how can words that express the love of God be used by many for judgment, arrogance, intolerance, and hatred? How can words declaring God's love for the world by some become an agent and an excuse for division among peoples, to provide an excuse for war, or spawn a justification for bigotry? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Now, those are rhetorical questions, but questions that should make us desire to seek a deeper meaning of what Jesus is saying here. Just as Nicodemus came by night seeking to know what he must do to enter the kingdom of God, so we come seeking a deeper understanding of God's love. We come with questions whose answers might give us a new perspective on how our embracing that love helps us to live more fully in the world in which we live and move and have our being. So at the outset of the sermon, I ask us this morning to come seeking answers from God with open hearts and open minds. So let's begin with how we get to this place in our lectionary readings over the past few months. Since the beginning of Epiphany, we've been dwelling in the Gospel of Matthew. That word covering the first seven chapters of the Gospel has announced the coming of Jesus as the one who ushers in the kingdom of God, a kingdom that Matthew presents as the new creation. Matthew's logic goes something like this. Humanity was created to be in relationship with one another and with God. But beginning with Adam and Eve, human desire and subsequent action has resulted in broken relationships, so much so that humanity has lost any sense of whom we were created to be and how we were to behave. So God sends Jesus as the Son, whose words and life become the way that God begins restoring the world to its intended state. Jesus gives us his mission statement in words that we can write on our hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus then goes on to say that if you indeed do this, you will experience everlasting life. That is, you will in this world begin living in the new creation. You will enter the kingdom of God. But what does that matter? What does that mean? Those who live in the kingdom of God in the here and now, in Matthew's concept, become partners with God in God's mission to restore the world through reconciliation. And that being said, our love for God and one another motivates us to restore broken relationships, to transform cultural structures and beliefs that lead to injustice, inequality, and division among people. Matthew implies that we are a people on a mission, and he presents a roadmap to help us on our way. And it comes in the form of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus paints a picture of what it means to live in the kingdom of God. Or if you prefer, he fleshes out how we can be true to our call to love God and to love one another as God loves us. That's what Matthew has tried to get us to understand in the last 8 weeks. And that leads us up to this morning's reading. And suddenly we depart from Matthew's gospel and begin hearing the gospel as told by John. And one reason that John's gospel makes sense at this point is that it lies in the fact that John and Matthew share a common understanding, a common belief in the very nature of God. And that is that the love of God is the driving force behind the witness of Jesus and the coming of the kingdom. It is in this context that we can best understand Jesus' words this morning, as recounted by John. Simply put, God sends the Son into the world as the first act of restoration of the world to its original state. In Jesus, God's love enters the world in flesh. God's love is so powerful that those who embrace it will find their lives transformed. Empowered by love from God, who is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and of great kindness, such people will begin to exhibit those attributes of God in their own lives and thus become the seed from which restoration begins. When all is said and done, then, God's love begins to spread throughout the world, person by person, good deed by good deed. One random act of kindness, one restored relationship, one righting of an injustice at a time. Like a light shining in the darkness, God's love illumines the world to the true nature of human peace and joy and hope and love. And this brings us to John's word for us this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all who believe in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. From John's point of view, in Jesus we see the love of God incarnate, and we believe that his witness and way of living is the key to eternal life. His death connects our living in the kingdom in the here and now with the eternal life of the kingdom that is to come. And here is the key for John. Our mission as people who are bearers of the light is to live the good news of God's love for us in our own lives. Our eyes being opened, we become bearers of witness to God's love. We are then to exhibit the same love for the world that God has shown for us. And our belief in Jesus leads us to be transformed into new people. And here's the key. Belief for John is less a matter of intellectual acceptance of a religious statement or proposition, and more a matter of internalizing the essential ingredients of our faith in our own lives, and thereby committing ourselves to a pattern of life that reflects the love of God in every facet of our lives. Not so that we can attain heaven, but that we might bring heaven to earth. Our message then, God desires us to know the fullness of life in the here and now as a foretaste of what is to come. And our mission, that we are to do everything we can to share with others God's compassion and mercy and understanding and kindness. And when we fail in that task, God reconciles us through forgiveness, that we can continue in the task that we were called to do. And forgiveness, which is at the heart of Christian experience, brings about restoration. And restoration brings about hope. And hope brings about joy. And joy brings about peace. And in peace, we experience God's love. And when we experience God's love, we find ourselves thrust back into the world. And there we become a light of the world and the salt of the earth, God's agents of reconciliation and restoration in the world. And there we turn our inner beliefs into mature actions, and we grow in our faith. Now, that's a lot of theology. And to some degree, I apologize for that this morning. But on the other hand, it's to try to impress upon us that what we're called to do in our lives is not necessarily to seek an insurance policy for heaven, but to reflect in our own lives the gift that God has given us. It's not about us, it's about God, it's about others. And so often the words of John are used for self-serving purposes, that some are in and others are out. And I categorically believe that that was never John's intent. And so with that in mind, I leave some questions for you to ponder during this Lent. How can I turn my faith into action? What's inside to what's out there? How can I become a living representative of God's love in the world? How does that take place? What does it look like? And then in keeping with the vision we've established for St. Peter's, who are those people in my life who I am called to welcome? People whom others shun or despise or ignore. And how do I reach out to them? What does it mean to welcome them? And am I up to the task? It invites a question, what does it mean to serve my community? How do I accomplish that? How do my outreach efforts reflect tangibly God's love for me and for others? How can I move beyond just a simple action to make it an act of love? How do I serve my community? And how do I bring Jesus into the lives of other people? And that leads me to ask, how do I meaningfully connect with others? How do I open myself up to embrace others? And what do those relationships, those connections look like? How does my faith change the way I relate to people around me? And do I have the courage to be different if I am called to do so? I think these are some provocative questions that came to me this week, and I invite them for your reflection. Questions that are all designed to lead each one of us into mature faith, not just a faith that's in our head, but in a faith that flows forth from our heart and influences everything we say and do. These are questions that we need to make part of our conversation with one another at St. Peter's and in our personal lives. But as we do that, remember this. We act not in order to be loved and accepted by God. We act because we are loved and are accepted by God. Our behaviors are not meant as a means to salvation, but a result of knowing that we are already beloved by God. And in a sense, we are already saved. And that is the message we proclaim as we walk the way of Jesus. Yes, God so loved the world that God sent the Son to the end that all who believe all who embrace the nature of God's love into their own sense of being, those who be love might find themselves walking in the way to eternal life. May God bless us in our journey, and may God keep us faithful to the love God has offered us. And may we, without reservation, show forth that love by what we say and what we do as we proclaim the word of God to a world that so desperately needs to hear not words of division or of anger or of injustice, but words of love. And in the name of the God who loved us so much that he was willing to die for us, amen.